Chapter 13. Out there, the Star Destroyer is in the slow-motion midst of its destruction. The elimination of a capital ship like that is rarely fast. It's bled like a great beast, like a purgle punctured over and over by hook lashes before it can be brought up on deck. Missile streaks and laser fire crisscross the endless dark, and slowly but surely, the destroyer is ripped asunder as the vacuum of space sucks great gulps of fire from fissures in its hull. And then, like that, it's over. Through the dark cascades, a great pulsing flash from engines gone supernova. It burns its image into Nora's retina. And now when she blinks, she sees the skeletal frame of that ship just before it's gone. All that's left out there now is debris. And though she cannot see them from here, bodies. At the Empire's peak, a Star Destroyer played host to around 40,000 crew, Commodore Augate says, walking up behind Nora. Our best guess was that ship out there, the Scythe, had far fewer than that on board, closer to 15,000. That's still a great many lives lost. Augate is tall, rail thin, with broad shoulders and long legs. Her chin is held high. Her hair is short. A dark curl around each ear is as ostentatious as it gets. The Commodore keeps her hands held behind her back. Nora knows the woman has a reputation for her trembling hands. Once it earned her dismissiveness and doubt, but that has changed. Kirsta Augate has proven her place time and time again. Many admire her earnestness. Though now, Nora wonders what the woman is getting at.
I don't understand, Nora says. We did this. This is war.
That's exactly right. This is war. It's easy to get caught up in the swell of it. The medals, the parades, the garlands of Larrakid petals on the victor's brows. But it's important to remember that war is mostly this. Destruction and death. We are killers.
Nora fails to suppress a tremor of her own.
Are you saying we're in the wrong?
With all due respect, Commodore Augate, I can't believe that.
Augate turns.
Her smile is sad.
No, we are doing just work. Those on board the Scythe knew who they were and why they were there. And they were not ignorant of the cost of war. I just want my people not to be ignorant of it either.
You want us to regret what we've done?
To her surprise, Augate nods.
I do. A little. We should. I don't want unrepentant killers, Lieutenant Wexley. I want soldiers who hate what they had to do and fear having to ever do it again.
And if that means we lose the war?
Then we lose the war by keeping ourselves.
That hits her like a fist. She feels staggered by it. Dizzy, almost.
Thanks, Nora says.
Though the way she says that word, Nora frames it almost as much a question as a statement of gratitude. Augate nods.
I spoke to Captain Antilles. He told me why you were out here.
Nora wonders idly if he told a lie, given that their purview to track the missing Han Solo was not exactly official. But when she hears the tale told true, she knows Wedge may not be capable of such an easy lie.
Han Solo is missing?
He is. And there may be Imperial entanglements.
Let's hope you find him.
Let's hope they continue to let us find him. He resigned his military commission.
Augate sighs.
That may complicate things.
I'm betting on it.
In front of the Moth, on one of the decks of the Concorde, Wedge meets Nora once more. He's nervous. He looks around at the bright, clean curves of the Starhawk's interior.
One hell of a ship, huh?
She agrees, and she tells him so. It's different to be in a ship that feels so new. It almost feels fake somehow, or like she doesn't belong.
Even something as simple as a docking bay above. The ceiling is sculpted in white scalloped edges, and all is lit with a warm glow rather than harsh lighting. The floors are lit too, from underneath.
"Listen," he says, leaning forward on his cane. "I told Auggie."
He doesn't have to say about what.
"I know. She knows we're looking for Solo. It's fine." "Akbar's gonna want to have a conversation." "I accept that."
"You should be really steamed."
"I'm not. Really.
I just figured if anyone was going to betray Leia, I'd rather it be me and not you. Though that means I had to betray you somewhat."
"Wedge, it's okay."
"Promise?"
"I swear by all the stars and all the skies."
He raises an eyebrow.
"About that drink."
Nora kisses him.
She does it before she even realizes she's doing it.
Her eyes close.
She draws a sharp intake of breath through her nose as they hold the kiss. Her heart feels heavy in her chest, as for just a fleeting moment, she thinks of her husband, Brenton. When she finally pulls away, it feels like forever has eclipsed them. That so much time has passed that the war may be over, and all that has come before can be willfully forgotten. An illusion, she knows, but a comforting one. She smiles. He smiles too.
"About that drink,"
she says, aiming to put some singier swagger in her voice.
"I'm sure they have a bar somewhere on this ship. I say we find it."